Amen. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're looking at Christian meetings, right? Okay, and we took our text, Hebrews 10:24-25, right? Which says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we said quite a number of things. Wouldn't you agree? Quite a number of things. And we still have quite some journey to go. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we saw in the previous services, you know, we began by asking a question that what exactly is the church? Amen. You know, the study is still on the church, right? Okay, but now we just zoomed in to Christian meetings or our gatherings within the local church. Praise the Lord. Okay, and then we said that Ephesians chapter 5 gives us various insights into this question. What is the church? Number one, we said that Christ is the head of the church, right? Verse 23 tells us that. Number two, the church is subject to Christ, verse 24. And number three, Christ loved the church, verse 25. That is, he gave himself for us as the sacrifice for our sins. Praise the Lord. Okay, to deliver us from our sins. That is how he loved his church. Praise the Lord. Then the fourth fact we saw is that in Christ there is a union or identification, oneness between Christ and his church. Paul uses Adam and Eve to illustrate this oneness. Okay, taking that from Genesis chapter 2. Amen. Okay, we are flesh of his flesh and bones of his bones. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that will be a spiritual reality. You follow that? Okay, so what Adam and Eve had as a physical union, flesh, we have with Christ Jesus today in the spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, and that is joined to the Lord, is one spirit with him. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we saw Matthew 16:18, how that Jesus is the rock upon which his church is built. Right? Okay, not Peter. He builds his church by his death, his burial, and his resurrection for sins. Praise the Lord. Okay, then we said that ecclesia means a calling out from two. Remember that? Okay, so we are called out from the world of sin into another company. So you see that nothing in Christianity encourages being on your own. Amen. This will be difficult for the 21st century Christian, I know. Okay, but nothing in the Bible, in Christianity, encourages being on your own. Let me just be minding myself, jejejejemi, you know, like we say. Okay, nothing like that in Christianity. There is no longer jejejejemi, amen, in Christianity. All of us, tiwa tiwa, amen. That is Christianity. Did I say that correctly? Okay, thank you very much. See, Omo Yoruba girl. Praise the Lord. Okay. Alright, so God did not make the new creation to dwell alone, as several descriptions are used to illustrate this simple fact. You know, we are called family. Family means you have brothers and sisters. We are called branches in the vine. Branches. Amen. Plural. You follow that? Okay. We are called sheep. Plural. Not sheepies. Amen. Sheep. Okay. It can be both plural or singular. Okay. So we are members of his flock. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is our good shepherd. Okay. We are called fellow soldiers. Right. An army in Christ, or soldiers in Christ's army. Christ is our captain, our kegos. Again, define fellow soldiers within this army. So again, you are not alone. Praise the Lord. Okay, and you know, several other things. We are God's temple. We come together as living stones which build God's house. 1 Peter 2:5 tells us that. It says, you as living stones have been built up a spiritual house or temple. Okay, to offer spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, then we are also one body. Paul tells us that, Romans 12:4-5. Okay, many members, but one body. We don't all have the same function. So actually, there is nothing like personal Christianity. Follow that? You know, that is something that we have cooked up in the 21st century. Christianity is community. Do you follow that? Let's say that together. Say, Christianity is community. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we come together. There is a fellowship, praise the Lord, okay, in Christianity. Then we saw our different kinds of meetings, okay, that we can have in the church. You know, that is the subject we are looking at, right? Christian meetings. We saw teaching meetings whereby knowledge is imparted to the thought. We saw the prayer meetings whereby we come together to lift up our petitions to God. Praise the Lord. Believing that He hears us, okay? Or to even get better in the faith. Amen? Okay, not every time prayer is to get things. You know, we've seen that before, right? In this church. Okay, then also the evangelistic meetings whereby we take Jesus to the unsaved to get him saved. Characterized by signs, wonders, and miracles. Praise the Lord. The believers' meetings whereby we edify one another via tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy primarily. Okay, and then also you find the revelation gifts in there. Then the power gifts are last, okay, in those meetings, secondary, in those meetings. Then we have the Holy Ghost meetings whereby we have a strange move of God that no one prepares anything. Praise the Lord. Okay, the Spirit of God inspires both the preacher and the congregation on the way to go. Praise the Lord. So you can come together and the Spirit of Christ will say, pray. You ever know that? Okay, and it's a 2-hour service and we spend the 2 hours praying. That's the Holy Ghost meeting. Praise the Lord. We can come together, the Holy Ghost will say, sing. Praise the Lord. Some Christians will like that. Dance, dance, dance. Okay, just sing in tongues. Okay, and we do that for 2 hours. Praise the Lord. Okay, or we can come together and the Spirit of Christ wants us to teach. Praise the Lord. So we do that in the services. Okay, then also the ministers meetings whereby those being trained for ministry gather together. Do you follow that? To receive spiritual training characterized by prayer. Praise the Lord. You know, long hours of teaching. Amen. Okay, to grow you in your ministry. Then we also saw special meetings whereby you have several meetings joined together in one, okay, whereby various things are happening at once at the same time. Okay, then we went on to give a brief exegesis, Hebrews 10:24-25, okay, our anchor text. And you know, this text is clear that our stirring up in the faith is tied to Christian gatherings, right? Christian meetings. That is how we grow and develop in the faith, okay? And the writer of Hebrews warns Christians to stop. Is the way I want to say it. To stop stopping gathering. Do you get it? Okay. To stop stopping gatherings. Okay. Don't stop gathering together. Do you get it? Okay. That's what the writer of Hebrews said. I know that's very bad English, but it gets the point across. Praise the Lord. Okay. So God has ordained it so that the way a Christian functions properly in the faith, okay, is by being found in the gathering of the saints. Praise the Lord. Okay, then in the last service we saw order, praise the Lord, and leadership in our gatherings. We said that the gatherings of God's people is characterized by order. Amen. It's not where you just do things as you like. Amen. Okay, you know, there is structure in the gatherings. In the Old Testament, for example, we saw the church in the wilderness, right? The people of Israel, they had order, right? Remember that? God in the middle, then followed by the leaders, then the assembly. Praise the Lord. Okay, that is how God has ordained it to be. Okay, you see that Moses as well also had a team of leaders to assist him in the wilderness. So Moses did not do everything alone. Okay, initially he did. Then Jethro, his father-in-law, I want to say, gave him some sense. I mean, you are a pastor of 3 million people and only you wants to oversee them. Ha! You end up killing yourself. You know, those who have just 100 folks in their church, they know how that is like. Then you have 3 million. Follow that. Okay, and then only you know that's going to give you issues. So Jethro gives him an advice, says, get other men to assist you. Get additional help. Okay, and he does so and, you know, he lived an old age. Amen. He didn't die on time. Selah. Praise the Lord. Okay, you see that the early church as well had similar structure. You know, initially as well, the 12 carried out everything in the church, right? Every task, every duty. But as the church increased, okay, from 120 to 3,000, okay, they needed additional help to assist them in non-pastoral duties. You see that in Acts 6, right? Okay, they chose men of a good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, to help them in that business of distributing food. Amen. Interestingly, Luke tells us that once additional help came, the leaders, okay, could now function on their ministry well. Praise the Lord. And the word of God spread. Do you see that? So imagine if you see that if you would just simply help your leaders, they will be much more effective. Praise the Lord. You know, imagine a leader doing everything. Think about that. Imagine the service today. Imagine I'm the one who set the chairs. Amen. I'm the one who set the sound. I'm the one who clean everywhere. Amen. I'm the one who invites disciples to church. Amen. I call each and every one of them. I'm the one after we don't carry everything out. Amen. I sweep everywhere. You know, Sheol will call me faster than I want to go. Right? Okay, so you know, help the pastor. Okay, everyone under the sound of my voice, not necessarily a member of this church, help your pastor's ministry. Praise the Lord. Okay, and we'll see that as well in this church. Okay, a special teaching, we cover that. Okay, how you can be a blessing to your church and your pastor. Amen. Not just every time, pastor bless me, pastor bless me. You too can be a blessing. Amen. To your pastor and to his ministry. Okay, and then we said that also in choosing leaders and workers in the church, certain criteria are required, right? You don't just pick anyone. Acts 6:3 says men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, right? And you know that Paul also adds that these leaders or workers must not be novices, right? That is immature Christian. You see that at 1 Timothy 3:6. Okay? So don't pick an immature Christian to lead. Okay? It will cause trouble in the church. Praise the Lord. Immature, I must say again, is not age. Okay? But refers to spiritual maturity. Praise the Lord. Okay, Timothy is a classic example of that, amen, of someone who was young and led churches, praise the Lord, and he did so effectively. You see that Paul commends him severally on several occasions, praise the Lord. Okay, so it's not age, but spiritual maturity. Does this guy know God's word well? Is he an example to the flock? Okay, does he pray well? Amen, you know, and so on and so forth. Okay, then lastly, we said that the church had the duty to obey their leaders, praise the Lord. The church has the duty to obey their leaders. Hebrews 13:17 tells us that. It says, obey those who are over you and be submissive. That word or phrase, be submissive, means stop resisting. Praise the Lord. For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would not be profitable for you. Okay? So let your leaders be glad leading you. Do you follow that? You know what I said? Okay? Say, my leaders will be glad leading me. So I won't be a cause of heartache to my leaders. Praise the Lord. Okay, that is how you will enjoy their ministry. Well, you know, a happy leader, oh my God, you will enjoy his ministry. Do you follow what I'm saying? Okay, if he's happy, you will enjoy his ministry. But someone who is frustrated, oh my God. Okay, the entire church, the service will just be blah. You get it? Okay, he will be angry, you will be angry as well. And everybody is angry, even the Holy Ghost is angry. The angels too are angry. Even the demons too. Okay, they are the only ones happy. Say, I've gotten them. And what are they? We've gotten them. Okay, so don't allow any form of division in the local church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be submissive. Praise the Lord. Don't allow any form of rebellion. Okay, be submissive to your leaders and you will enjoy of their ministry very well. Praise the Lord. Okay, so in this service, I want to look at a particular area. Praise the Lord. Alright, so we are entering the teaching now. Amen. Gradually. Praise the Lord. We are putting our legs in now into the teaching. Praise the Lord. So we want to look at the corporate anointing. Praise the Lord. The corporate anointing. Okay. You know, if you are in the world of faith circles, amen, you know this phrase very well. Amen. Kenneth Hagin used it a lot. Praise the Lord. Kenneth E. Hagin, bro. Hagin. The corporate anointing. So I want to see what exactly is the corporate anointing. Praise the Lord. Now, that English word corporate is derived from the Latin word corpus. Okay? C-O-R-P-U-S. Corpus. Which means body. Okay? You see that Webster's New Universal Unabridged Dictionary. Okay? You find out there. Now, the word corporate means united or combined. You follow that? United or combined. So let me give you the definition of the corporate anointing. Okay, I have a definition here. Now, the corporate anointing is a degree of God's power that is experienced when more than one believer is in a place. Do you follow that? Okay, and there is a singleness of purpose as well as unity amongst them. I come again with that. The corporate anointing is a degree of God's power that is experienced when more than one believer is in a place, and there is a singleness of purpose as well as unity amongst them. So this is experienced only when the people of God are together. Do you follow that? Okay, so there is a flow of God's power that we can only have when we are gathered together. Do you follow that? We can't have it on our own. No. You can never have it on your own. Only when we are gathered together. Do you follow that? Now that is the corporate anointing. Praise the Lord. So there is something powerful about people coming together. Throughout the scriptures, you find that there, okay? Something powerful. Don't underestimate gatherings. What did I say to you? Don't underestimate gatherings. Don't underestimate meetings, okay? The atmosphere of a gathering can rub off on everyone there. Okay, everyone. Okay, in Genesis 11, for example, you see that the people came together in rebellion, right? Against Yahweh. Remember that story? To build the Tower of Babel, right? Okay, and look at this. The judgment came upon all of them. Do you see that? None of them was left out. That is corporate. Do you see that? Everyone. Okay? Also, in Joshua 7, the sin of Achan is treated as the sin of all the people. Remember that story? Let's see that at Joshua 7:1. Joshua 7:1. It says, but the children of Israel, underline that, the children of Israel, everyone, right? Can we say? Okay, committed. Now look at this. I found this quite interesting. Okay, when studying this. Now look at this. Okay, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding their cursings for Achan. Come on. Did you see that there? Did you see that there? It says, the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding their cursings for Achan. Do you see that? Achan, the son of Carmi, Zerbi, Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of their cursed things. So everyone is treated alike. Come on. Do you see that there? So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Come on. So the sin of one man affected the entire camp. So corporately, we can bear punishment, or corporately, we can be blessed. Do you see that there? Okay, so you can choose. Praise the Lord. The choice is ours. Okay, so in this teaching, we want to examine the ladder. Amen. I hope you know we don't want to be punished. Amen. We want to be blessed together. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we want to examine the ladder. Okay, how we can come together corporately to be blessed. Hallelujah. So are you ready for that now? Okay, now you find several examples of this in the scriptures. Okay, several examples whereby God's people came together as one and enjoyed the benefits thereof. Okay, so I'll give you several examples now for that. Now, beginning with Joshua 6. So you may bullet point, list, you know, depending on your preference. Joshua 6. Now, Joshua 6 records the fall of Jericho. Remember that story? Okay, I'm going to say Jericho 6:1. Praise the Lord. Joshua 6:1. Please turn the Bible there, okay? Joshua 6:1. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Okay? Then a corporate instruction is given. Okay? Something for everyone to do. Verse 3. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. Underline all as we proceed, okay? You shall all, underline that all, around the city go once. This you all, we can say, okay, shall do 6 days. 4 says, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of rams, horns, before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpet. It shall come to pass when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Underline that. All the people, everyone. So can we call this a corporate instruction? Okay, everyone. Then the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Okay, so no one was to make a single sound until Joshua, the leader, said so. Do you see that there? Now see verse 8. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark. Then the priests continued blowing the trumpets. 10. Now Joshua had commanded the people, underline that, commanded the people, so everyone, you see that? Everyone, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, underline that, I say to you, shout, then, underline that, then you shall shout. So this instruction was to be carried out corporately. Okay, and you see that they did this for 7 days. No one said a single word till the instruction was given. Verse 16. And the seventh time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now look at verse 20. So the people shouted. Online that. The people shouted. Can't say every one of them. Okay, together. Okay, when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted, online that. The people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. You see that? Do you see that? Okay, then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Okay, so this is an example of God's people corporately carrying out instructions. Praise the Lord. So for the corporate anointing to work, we all have to be doing the same things. Do you see that there? Unity is required. Praise the Lord. Another example you find is 1 Samuel 10. 1 Samuel 10, when King Saul prophesied. Remember the story? Please turn there. 1 Samuel 10:1. You know, if I say remember that story and you don't respond, that means, you know, the Lord has revealed you. You don't do Bible reading. Do you get it? The reason why I say remember that story is because I expect you to have read that, right? In your Bible reading. Aha. So the Lord is exposing you. So, and I say, you know that story, I'll look around. Those who don't talk loudly, what's your Bible reading? Okay, 1 Samuel 10:1. Are you there? Okay. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, and kissed him, and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and there they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found, and now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys, and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen, when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets. Underline that. A group of prophets. Very key. Ebel Nebahim in the Hebrew. That's that phrase. Okay, that is a closely knit group of prophets. Okay, prophets who are one. Can we say corporate? Huh? Come on. Okay, coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine. So you see, this is word of wisdom gone, right? See, he's giving him everything. He said, you a string instrument, a tambourine, a flute, a harp, everything, word for word. So you see, Samuel, what a man. You see that there? Okay, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be, even tells him what they will be doing. Did you see that there? Okay, then look at number 6. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy,
what?
With them, underline that. Okay, and be turned into another man. So the same Spirit upon the prophets, right, would come upon Saul because it was with them. Can we say copyright? Huh? Okay, and that happened, verse 10. It says, when they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Now look at this. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied,
what?
Among them. Underline that. Among them. Now Saul was not a prophet. Amen? He was not. But because he came in the company or the gathering of prophets, he too could then prophesy. Do you see that? See verse 11. It said, and it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this then that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? You see that there? Okay, so he's not. A rhetorical question. Then a man from there answered and said to them, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Praise the Lord. So the same stuff on the prophets rubbed off on Saul. Do you see that? Now why? Because he was of one mind with them. So they flowed together in the corporate anointing. Do you see that? Now another example of the corporate anointing in display was when King Solomon dedicated the temple. 1 Kings 8. Okay, another example of the corporate anointing in display was when King Solomon dedicated the temple. Okay, 1 Kings 8. When he dedicated the temple. Now remember that after King Solomon had completed the temple, the elders of Israel gathered together as one at its dedication. 1 Kings 8 1. Let's see that quickly. 1 Kings 8 1. It says, now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all on the line assembled, okay, and all the heads of the tribes, the chief fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore all the men of Israel assembled, on the line that assembled, with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month. So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and all the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled, online that, assembled with him, were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. So they gathered together to worship. You follow that? Now observe what happens as they assembled in one accord. See verse 10. It says, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place. Now look at this. That the cloud filled the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. Underline that. Filled the house of the Lord. So there was a tangible manifestation of God's presence because his people were assembled together. Do you see that there? Tangible. Second Chronicles 7 tells us that there was fire from heaven. Let's see that quickly. Second Chronicles 7:1. Okay. A different account of the same story. It says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Praise the Lord. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord which had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw that the fire came down and the glory of the Lord was on the temple, they, underline that, they, all of them, right, together, bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Look at 4. Then the king and all the people in the land, that all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. You see that? Everyone. There was music also, verse 6. Okay? And the priests attended to their services, the Levites also with instruments of the music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, "For his mercy endures forever." Whenever David offered praise by their ministry, the priests sounded trumpets. Online that, sounded trumpets opposite them while all Israel stood. So there was corporate worship. Do you see that? Do you see that there? Okay. The people gathered together, offered sacrifices together, and sang together. Praise the Lord. Okay. And they enjoyed the presence of God because of their unity. Do you see that? Everyone together. Okay, in Nehemiah 12, the people sang together as they dedicated the wall they had rebuilt. Okay, Nehemiah 12:27, it says, "Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgivings and singing with cymbals and string instruments and harps, and the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Netophathites, from the house of Gilgal, and from the fields of Geba and Azmaveth, for the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. Then the priests and Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right on the wall toward the refuge gate. After them went Uzziah and half of all the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshullam, Judah, Benjamin, Shemaiah, Jeremiah, and some of the priest's sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micaiah, the son of Zakur, the son of Asaph, Asaph, and his brethren, Shemaiah, Azrael, Milai, Jilai, Ma'ai, Nathanael, Judah, and Anani, okay, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God. Ezra, the priest, went before them by the fountain gate. In front of them, they went up to the stairs of the city of David, on the stairway of the wall beyond the house of David, as far as the water gate eastward. The other thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall, going past the Tower of the Ovens as far as the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, the Tower of Ananel, the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the sheep gate. And they stopped by the gate of the prison. So the two thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God, likewise I and the half of the rulers with me. And the priests Eliakim, Maaseiah, Minjamin, Micaiah, Elionai, Zechariah, and Ananiah with trumpets, also Maaseiah, Shemaiah, Eleazar, Uzi, Jehoanan, Malkijah, Elam, and Isa, the singers, sang loudly with Jezreiah. The 43 says, also that they, on the line that they, can we say corporate? Everyone, okay, offered great sacrifices and rejoice, for God had made them, unlined them, everyone, can we say, okay, rejoice with great joy, the women and the children also rejoice, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. You see that? So they came together as one to give thanks to God. Can we call that corporate? Huh? Can we say that? Okay, thank you very much. Then similarly, in Ezra 3, the people rejoiced together when the temple's foundation was laid. Okay? When the temple's foundation was laid. Ezra 3:10. Let's see that quickly. Ezra 3:10. This was after the people came back from captivity, right? In foreign nations. Ezra 3:10. It says, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord. Online that, they sang responsively, okay? for he is good, for his mercy endures forever toward Israel. Then all the people, underline that, then all the people shouted with a great shout when they, underline they, okay, praise the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now that is the corporate worship, or that is corporate worship. Hallelujah. Also in Esther, the people of Israel come together to fast and pray for her. Esther 4:15. Let's say that quickly. Esther 4:15. Esther 4:15. Are you there? I'll wait for you. Are you there now? Okay. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go gather all the Jews," online that all the Jews who are present in Susan, "and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise." Online that, okay? My maids and I will fast likewise, okay? So I will go to the king, which is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. You see where that phrase is from? She's in the Bible. Okay, some people say that when it's time for exam, "I perish, I perish." Verse 17. Okay, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. Remember that this was where Esther was supposed to see the king, right? Remember that, against the law. And the penalty for that was death. So they came together, the Jews, collectively, to pray for her, for favor. Praise the Lord. And you see that their prayers worked. Amen. Esther 5:2. Okay. It says, "So it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter, and the king said to her, 'What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request?' 'It shall be given to you up to half my kingdom.'" Now this is not because she knows how to do makeup. The Jews came together to pray for her. Okay? No, there's several things being taught today. Amen. So it's very good to clarify that. Okay? So do you see that there is something powerful about God's people coming together? Do you see that? Okay? You see that the church was birthed in a meeting. Acts 2. Right? Turn there. It was birthed in a meeting. Praise the Lord. A gathering. Acts 2:1. Okay? It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Underline that, okay? With one accord and in one place. Now, can we call this corporate? Huh? Together? Okay, everyone? United? Come on? Okay? Now, look at 2. "And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they," on the line that they were sitting. "Then they appeared to them," on the line them, okay, "divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them," on the line them, okay, "and they," on the line they, okay, "were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them," on the line them, "utterance." Now, do you notice the plural pronouns used here, "they" and "them"? Do you see that there? That is a collection of people. Do you see that? Verse 1 says that they were all with one accord in one place. Verse 1 tells us that. Okay? So the infilling of the Spirit came because they were united as one. Praise the Lord. Do you see that there? Okay? And you know, we've also said that all the metaphors used to describe the church speak of being united. Right? We've seen that already. You know, we are family. Right? God's flock. Right? Fellow soldiers. Branches in the vine. Okay, these all speak of being with others. So no metaphor used to describe the church encourages being alone. Do you follow that? See 1 Peter 2. Look at how Peter says it there. 1 Peter 2:9. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9, it says, "For you are a chosen generation." Okay? Generation there, genos in the Greek. G-E-N-O-S. That's that word, generation, which means a family. Praise the Lord. Okay? Race, kindred. That's that word, okay? Kindred. Then it says, a royal priesthood. Okay? Priesthood. Eretuma in the Greek. H-I-E-R-A-T-E-U-M-A. H-I-E-R-A-T-E-U-M-A, which means a body of priests. Do you follow that? A body of priests. Then it says a holy nation. Okay, nation. Ethnos in the Greek. Ethnos. E-T-H-N-O-S. E-T-H-N-O-S, which means a group of people with similar beliefs, similar customs and culture. Praise the Lord. Okay, then it continues. It says his own special people. Okay, people. Laos in the Greek. L-A-O-S. Okay, literally a crowd. That's our word, okay, in the Greek. A crowd. A tribe of people. Praise the Lord. Okay, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Praise the Lord. Underline that, okay? The people of God who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Look at all these descriptions. All of them speak of a collective reality. Do you see that? Okay? You alone cannot be a generation. Have you seen some Christians say, I am a chosen generation? How can you alone be a generation? Do you follow that? You alone can't be a generation. You alone cannot be a royal priesthood. Say, I'm a royal priesthood. How? You must be legion. Oh, you don't get that. Go and pray. You get it, okay? Just pray in tongues. You get it. Okay? I'm a royal priesthood. One person. Okay? You alone cannot be a royal priesthood. You and others form this priesthood. Hallelujah. You see that? So, God made the church to function together. Say, God made the church to function together as one. Okay? So, we are our best when we are together. Do you follow that? As a church, we are our best. We are at our very best when we are together. That is the corporate anointing. Praise the Lord. That is how God has ordained the church to be. Praise the Lord. Okay? So, in God's mind, we will do better only when we are together. You follow that? So there is a grace upon the gatherings. Come on. I know that word grace has been misused. Amen. But it's not an evil word. Even the word anointing as well. Okay, there is a special grace or anointing on the gatherings. You can't get it on your own. Do you follow what I said to you just now? Pray 10 years on your own. You can't get it. Do you follow that? It is on the gatherings and on the gatherings alone. That is a corporate anointing. So we are at our best when we are together. Praise the Lord. So we are at our best when we are gathered together. That is the corporate anointing. Praise the Lord. Now this anointing is spoken of in Psalm 133. Let's see that quickly. Psalm 133 verse 1. Psalm 133 verse 1. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Underline that. Dwell together in unity. Now the word unity here translates the Hebrew yachad. Okay, yachad. Y-A-C-H-A-D. Used for those who are a singular unit, together and alike. Okay, now verse 2 describes the anointing that this unity brings. Okay, verse 2. It says, it is like the precious oil upon the head. Do you see that there? The precious oil upon the head. Now the word oil used here is shemen in the Hebrew. Shemen. S-H-E-M-E-N. Which means anointing or ointment. That's that word, okay? Anointing or ointment. This oil or anointing, okay, the shemen, was used in Bible days to anoint kings. Have you seen that in your Bible reading? Kings, okay, used for Saul, 1 Kings 10 verse 1. Okay, it says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head. Used for Saul there, okay? It was also used to anoint priests, okay, in the land of Israel. You see that Numbers 35 verse 25. Numbers 35:25. Okay, it says, so the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the offender of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he has fled, and he shall remain there until the death of the high priest who was anointed with the holy oil. Underline that, okay? with the holy oil, Beshemen HaKodesh in the Hebrew, that is the sacred oil. So priests in those days, in Bible days, were anointed with the oil. You see that the law of Moses even gives specifications, amen, for how this oil was to be produced or made. And that is why you see that as Psalm 133 verse 2 continues, okay, it says, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments, describing the oil which flows from Aaron's head, the high priest, down to the rest of his body. Now, that is the same way the corporate anointing works. Do you follow that? Where there is unity, the entire body enjoys the benefit. Praise the Lord. So it flows from the head, right, to every part of the spiritual body. Okay, the body or community of believers. Do you see that there? From the head, it flows everywhere. That is the corporate anointing. Okay, then verse 3 of that same chapter describes this corporate anointing. It says, it is like the dew of Hermon, okay, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, the dew of Hermon in Bible days brought fruitfulness on the hills and mountains of Zion. Okay, especially during the times of famine. Do you follow that? So, the psalmist is saying here that unity will bring fruitfulness. Do you follow that? Now, interestingly, that fruitfulness will be found where? In Zion. It says, for Zion is where the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Now, what does it mean in Zion? Now, Zion in the Old Testament was where Yahweh chose for his people to worship. Do you follow that? That was their gathering spot. Come on. Come on. Their meeting place. Okay, see Psalm 78:67. Let's see that quickly. Psalm 78:67. Psalm 78:67. It says, moreover, he, that is Yahweh, rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. You see that? Underline it, okay? 69 says, and he built his sanctuary. Underline that. He built his sanctuary or his temple, okay? Like the heights, like the earth, which he has established forever. So, the temple was built on the Temple Mount of Zion. That's what it was called, okay? The Temple Mount of Zion. So, God chose Zion above every other place in the land of Israel for his people to worship. Okay, see Psalm 87 verse 1. Similarly there, Psalm 87 1. It says, his foundation is in the holy mountains. Now remember, the Temple Mount, right? Okay, that's the holy mountains here. 2, the Lord loves the gates of Zion. Do you see that there? It's a parallelism, right? Okay, more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Online are gates of Zion and holy mountains. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Selah. Okay, so God commanded blessing and life to proceed forth from Mount Zion, where the temple was. You follow that? So his people would gather there to worship. Now that is the end goal of unity. Do you follow what the psalmist is saying here? The benefits of unity will be found in the gatherings. Do you get it now? That is what Psalm 133 verse 3 is saying. Do you follow that? So unity will bring fruitfulness on the gathering of God's people. Praise the Lord. Okay? On Zion. Do you get it now? Okay, so when we are assembled together in unity, then these blessings and life can flow. Do you follow that? So we can only enjoy God's fullness by being united. Praise the Lord. We must be one. What I say? We must be one. Praise the Lord. So that fruitfulness will be where? In the gatherings. Now you see that the New Testament as well uses certain words to describe this united state of the church, or this corporate state of the church. Now one of such words is koinonia. Okay, koinonia, K-O-I, Koinonia. People in you, I like this word so much. Koinonia. Praise the Lord. Which means a joint participation. Praise the Lord. Okay? Or fellowship. Koinonia means when two or more people come together as one. Amen. That's that word, literally, in the Greek. This same word was used to describe the early church, Acts 2. Acts 2:42. Please turn your Bible there quickly. Acts 2:42. Okay? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's that word, koinonia. Underline that, koinonia. In the breaking of bread and in prayers. Okay? So you see that the early church understood the power of the corporate anointing. Do you see that? They were always together. You know, we are in the light in Christ, and in the light we have fellowship with one another. 1 John 1:7 tells us that. Please turn there. 1 John 1:7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Underline that. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, God expects those in the light to be one. Do you follow that there? That's what John is saying there, okay? He expects those in the light to be one. So, you are in the light, okay, with several others. Then you and those others are to be one. Praise the Lord, united together. Now, another word used to describe the corporate anointing is medeco. Medeco, M-E-T-E-C-H-O. M-E-T-E-C-H-O, a verb. The last O is accentuated, okay? Which means to share in, okay? Participate in, become a partaker of. To share in, participate in, become a partaker of. Okay, this word is used at 1 Corinthians 10:17. Let's say that quickly. 1 Corinthians 10:17. For we, though many, are one bread, unlike that one bread, and one body, unlike that one body, for we all partake, that's that word, underline it, okay, partake, medical, of that one bread. Okay, so we are one bread, we are one body in Christ. Okay, you see that our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his church that we would be one. Okay, see John 17. That prayer is called his high priestly prayer. Okay, in the word of theologians, John 17:20. Let's say that quickly. He prayed that we would be one. John 17:20. He says, I do not pray for these alone, that is his disciples, okay, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Now who are those? You and I today. Praise the Lord. That they may all be one. Underline that, be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Underline that, okay, one in us. That the world might believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one. Underline that. They may be one. Just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Underline that. Perfect in one. And that the world may know that you sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Now the word one, used in verses 21, 22, and 23, translates the Greek eis. Eis. H-E-I-S, which means united. Praise the Lord. United, okay? Without divisions or dissensions. Without divisions or dissensions. So Jesus prayed this prayer because he knew that our meetings will only bless us when we are gathered together as one in unity. Praise the Lord. Okay, that is the only time our meetings will bless us, when we are gathered together as one in unity, as one. Okay, so there is a degree of God's power and God's glory that we will enjoy only when we are gathered together. Do you follow that? Only when we are gathered together. Now, in the Old Testament, this glory was typified by the glory cloud. Seeing that in your Bible reading? Let me catch you now. Seeing that? The glory cloud Okay, also known as the Shekinah in the Hebrew. Okay, Shekinah. Now this cloud would often appear anytime God's people gathered together. Do you follow that? Okay, or anytime God's people came together. Okay, you will find that a bright shining cloud would appear over the assembly or the congregation when they met. Okay, you find that in the Old Testament. See Exodus 16, verse 10. Exodus 16:10. It says, now it shall come to pass, we run through now, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel. Underline that, the whole congregation of children of Israel. Can we say one? Corporately, okay, that they looked toward the wilderness and behold the glory of the Lord. Don't lie that. The glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. Don't lie that. In the cloud. Now that is the Shekinah. Do you see that there? Okay, a bright visible cloud. So look at this. The people are gathered together. Then the glory cloud appears over what? Their gatherings. Come on. Come on. The congregation. The assembly. Look at Leviticus 9:22. You always find this cloud with the gatherings. Praise the Lord. Okay, Leviticus 9:22. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron ran into the tabernacle of meeting. Unlike that, tabernacle of meeting. You see that there? Okay, and came out and blessed the people. So the people were gathered, right? Okay, then the glory of the Lord appeared. Underline that. Okay, to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and fed on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. You see that? So this cloud appeared with so much power. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Okay, sometimes the power was so strong that it disrupted the services. Praise the Lord. Okay, see Exodus 40:34-35. Let's see that. So strong. Okay, Exodus 40:34-35. It says, then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And look at 35. And Moses was not able to enter. Underline that. Come on. Do you see that there? Was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So you see, it disrupted the services. Come on! Do you see that? See 1 Kings 8:10-11. Similarly there. 1 Kings 8:10-11. 1 Kings 8:10-11, it says, and it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud, underline that, the cloud, the Shekinah, okay, filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering. Underline that, could not continue ministering because of the cloud. Underline that, the cloud, that is the Shekinah, okay, for the glory of the Lord, underline that, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So the glory was so strong that even the priests could not carry out their functions. Praise the Lord. Okay, 2 Chronicles 5 records this same event. Turn there. 2 Chronicles 5:11. 2 Chronicles 5:11. It says, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present and sanctified themselves without keeping to their division, and the Levites who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Eman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren, stood by the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments and harps, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one, underline that, were as one, come on, to make one sound, underline that, one sound, corporate, come on, corporate, okay, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, okay, there, with the trumpets and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now look at this, that the house of the Lord, the temple, can we say, okay, was filled with a cloud. Okay, look at 14. So that the priest could not continue ministering, underline that, okay, because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. The Hebrew literally says the priest could not stand to minister. Praise the Lord. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. So the glory knocked everyone off their feet. Praise the Lord. Including the ministers. That is the corporate anointing. Do you see that there? So we can have holy interruptions in our services. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They are interruptions, but they are holy. Amen. By the power of God. Do you see that? So we can have instances in our meetings whereby the power of God is so strong that everyone is on their feet. Praise the Lord. No one can move. Amen. Or do normal things that we otherwise would be able to do. Do you see that there? Praise the Lord. See 2 Chronicles 7:1. Say we can have holy interruptions of our services. Say we can have interruptions, but they are holy by the Spirit of God in our gatherings. Praise the Lord. Okay, see 2 Chronicles 7:1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:1, it says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. Now look at this. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Underline that. The glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priest could not enter the house of the Lord. Underline that. Could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Underline that, okay? Had filled the Lord's house. So God's glory fills his house. Do you see that so far? Now, in the Old Testament, that house was physical, right? Initially, that house was the tabernacle of Moses, right? In the wilderness. Then when they got to the promised land, it was the temple of Solomon. Do you follow that? Okay, and that is where every Jew went to worship Yahweh. Do you follow that? In that house of God. You see that Deuteronomy 12 tells us that, verses 5 to 7. Deuteronomy 12 verses 5 to 7. It instructs the Jews that they must go to where the Lord has put his name to worship. Okay, and where the Lord chose was Jerusalem. Okay, was Jerusalem, particularly Zion. You follow that? You find that Deuteronomy 12 verses 5 to 7. Now, in that temple was the presence of God. Do you follow that? You know, we've called that the Shekinah, right? Right? Okay. But that presence was hidden in the holiest of all. Okay. By a large veil. You find that Exodus 26, verses 31 to 33. A large veil. Now, according to Josephus, he's a Jewish historian, okay? This veil or curtain was 40 feet wide. Think about that. 40 feet wide, 20 feet high, and 4 inches thick. Do you get that? Those who are mathematically inclined, amen, you know what that means? 40 feet wide, 20 feet high, and 4 inches thick, okay? So, it hindered access to the Shekinah, okay, Yahweh's glory. The people of Israel, the people of Israel had no access to it. Only the priests, amen, once a year. You see that Hebrews 9:7 tells us that. Let's say that quickly. Hebrews 9:7. It says, but into the second part, now that is the most holy place, right? Right? The most holy place, okay? The high priest went alone once a year. You see that? Not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. So you see, only the high priest was allowed behind that veil, right? That thick veil, once a year. So can we say in the Old Testament, God's glory was hindered? Can we say that? Enclosed? Entrapped? Can we say that? Can we say it was limited? Huh? To a place? Alright, thank you. Now, at the death of Jesus, something interesting now happens. Praise the Lord. See Matthew 27. Quite interesting. Okay, quite interesting. Matthew 27:50. Praise the Lord. Okay, Matthew 27:50. It says, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit, euphemism for he died. Okay, 51. Then behold, the veil of the temple, that veil, right? that blocked the Shekinah, right, was thorn in two. Hallelujah! Do you see that there? Underline it, okay? Thorn in two from top to bottom. Underline that, okay? And the earthquake and the rocks were split. So, Jesus dies, and the veil hindering man's access to the Shekinah is thorn. Praise the Lord. So, what does that mean? That is God telling you that the death of Jesus has now given us access to God's glory. Praise the Lord. Do you see that there? Look at how the writer of Hebrews says this. Hebrews 10:19. Turn your Bible there quickly. Hebrews 10:19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest. In the Old Testament, you don't have boldness. You come close, you die. Do you follow that? It says, but now we have what? Boldness. So we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You see that there? By a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Under the old, the instruction is don't come near. At Mount Sinai, anyone who even touches the mountain will die. But look at this now. In the new, we can come. I said we can come. We can come. Praise the Lord. Okay, take your seat. Okay? He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now let me say this to you. We can now enter the holiest of all because the blood of Jesus has made us as holy as that place. Praise the Lord. Look at Hebrews 10:10. Okay? It says, by that will we have been sanctified, that means made holy, okay, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Hallelujah. So we've been sanctified. So we've been sanctified. So we've been sanctified. So we've been sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus once. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we are now the most holy place. Do you follow that? That is a big statement. I know the Jew will scream, ah! But that is Bible truth. Do you follow that? The work of Christ has made us as holy as that place. So that means that every man in Christ now has access to God's glory cloud. Come on, right? The Shekinah, right? Now remember that God's glory fills his house. Now we are that house. I said we are that house. I said we are that house. I said we are that house. Praise the Lord. Okay? Take your seat. So God's glory doesn't fill physical houses anymore. Praise the Lord. God's glory fills men. Do you follow that? Okay, it fuels men. See Hebrews 3:6. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hebrews 3:6. It says, but Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are. Underline that. Whose house we are. It says, if, I told you that is since in the Greek, right? Okay, since we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope. Firm to the end is not original. Do you follow that? So we are that house. Say we are that house. Say we are that house. Okay. See 1 Corinthians 6:19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, or do you not know that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. So God lives in every believer today. Okay, we house him individually. Say we house God individually. Praise the Lord. Okay, but it doesn't stop there. Amen. It doesn't stop there. We also house God corporately. Do you follow that? That is, God also dwells in our gatherings. You know, many times we limit the indwelling of God to each believer. Right? Not so. Now, while it is true that God dwells in us, we must also be aware of the fact that God dwells in our meetings. Do you follow that? In our gatherings. See 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. Oh, thank you, Lord. Okay? 1 Timothy 3:15. It says, but if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in what? The house of God, which is what? The church. You see that? Inhabits the church. It says, of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So the church is his house. Also 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, do you, right, plural in the Greek, that is you all, not know that you or you yourselves are the temple of God, okay, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you or in you all? Do you get it? So it dwells in the gatherings. You there refers to what? The gatherings. Praise the Lord. The meetings. Jesus says this beautifully, Matthew 18:20. He says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm what? I'm there. Praise the Lord. In the midst of them. We have the reality of what the Old Testament temple typified. So Solomon's temple was made of dead stones. Can we say? Blocks, bricks, right? God's New Testament temple is made up of living stones. Praise the Lord. Men born again. So we come together to form his house. 1 Peter 2:4 tells us that, right? It says, come to him as to a living stone rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. Verse 5 says, you also as living stones, okay, are being built up a spiritual house to offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so in the Old Testament, the building is made of what? Dead stones. In the New, made of what? Living stones. Okay, now in the Old Testament, God's glory filled Solomon's temple, right? Now, his glory fills our assemblies in the New. Praise the Lord. Do you follow that? His glory now fills our assemblies in the New. So, you know what this means? This means that we can have the demonstrations of power in our assemblies just like in the Old Testament temple. Do you follow that? The same way that glory filled Solomon's temple, it now fills our assemblies. Praise the Lord. Remember what happened in 2 Chronicles 5 verse 13. Please turn there. 2 Chronicles 5:13. It says, indeed it came to pass when the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they had lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for his good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, right? So that the priest could not continue ministering or could not stand ministering, right? Because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. So if we are God's house in the New Testament, that means that every time we come together as one, we can have God's glory in our midst. Praise the Lord. So as we lift up our voices in prayer and praise in one accord, we too can experience God's power so strong that we won't be able to stand. Praise the Lord. Okay? Is it the same glory? Okay? So we can experience such a phenomenon in our gatherings. And you know what? We have more than the Old Testament temple had today. They had the shadow. We have the reality. Praise the Lord. God spoke about this. Haggai 2. Let's see that quickly. Haggai 2, 7 to 9. Haggai 2, 7 to 9. Haggai 2:7, it says, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Now look at this, and I will fill this temple with glory. Underline that. I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. 9, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. Underline that. Okay, says the Lord of hosts, and in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So you see here that God speaks of another temple that will be built in the future. He calls it the latter temple. Do you see that? The latter house. And he says that this temple would have more glory than the first. That is Solomon's temple. Okay, now we are that latter temple today. Praise the Lord. Okay, the one Yahweh spoke about. So he lives in us by his spirit. Okay? And the glory of this temple supersedes that of the former. You see that there? Okay? Paul explains this 2 Corinthians 3:9-11. Let's see that quickly. 2 Corinthians 3:9-11. It says, for if the ministry of condemnation, that is the old, do you follow that? Add glory, the ministry of righteousness, that is the new. Can we see the latter house? Okay? Exceeds much more in glory. Praise the Lord. You see that there? For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. Underline that. The glory that excels, okay? For if what is passing away was glorious, that is the old, what remains, the new, is much more glorious. Hallelujah! You see that? So in Christ, the glory of God in the temple has increased. Do you follow that? In the Old Testament, this glory would appear temporarily and then leave. Amen? You see that Ezekiel 10 records a very interesting incident whereby the glory of God left the temple. Amen. Ezekiel 10, you find that there, okay? So it wasn't permanent there in the physical temple. In the New Testament, however, that glory lasts forever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay? So we house God's glory forever. Amen. We have His presence forever. John 14:16 tells us that. It says, and I'll pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He might abide with you, what? Forever. Do you see that? So the Father never leaves this temple. Do you see that? In the New Testament. So that means that we can have more demonstrations of God's power in our meetings, even more than they had in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Even more than they had in the Old Testament. So that means that we can have miracles. Amen. 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 We can have signs and wonders. Amen. We can have sights and sounds in the Spirit. Do you follow that? So that means we can see supernaturally, and we can also hear supernaturally in the gatherings. Amen. You see this in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. Please turn to Acts 2:1. Okay, on the day of Pentecost, things were seen and things were heard supernaturally. Praise the Lord. Acts 2:1. Acts 2:1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound, underline that, a sound echoes in the Greek. Echos. Echoes. Okay, that is a loud noise, okay, from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. On the line of that, a rushing mighty wind. So they heard something, did they? Supernaturally, okay, and it filled the whole house. On the line of that, filled the whole house where they were sitting. Can we say it filled God's temple? Come on, a fulfillment of Haggai 2:7, where God says, I will fill this temple with glory. Praise the Lord. So you see the fulfillment here, okay. Now, verse 3 says, then they appeared to them, underline that, appeared to them, okay, of Tesan in the Greek. O-P-H-T-H-E-S-A-N, of Tesan, okay, which means their eyes saw, praise the Lord, okay, divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, okay, so they saw something as well, supernaturally, can we say? Are you in church? Okay, verse 4, can we say? You're not in church, can we say? Loudly, can we say? Still can't hear you, can we say? Still can't hear you, can we say? Still can't hear you, can we say? Thank you. Now continue like that throughout the service. Thank you. Now verse 4. And they were all filled. Don't allow that. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that is the glory. Do you see that there? Haggai 2:7. Okay? And began to speak. Underline that. Began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So look at this. They heard, they saw, and they spoke supernaturally. Praise the Lord. So we can have that too. Amen. 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 Okay. You see that something similar happens in Acts 4 after they had prayed together. Acts 4:31. It says, when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. On that, okay, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now that is the greater glory. So we have that today. Amen. We have that today. Amen. So just like in the Old Testament, their gatherings was filled. Do you see that? With the glory of God. So when God's people come together as one in the New Testament, they can expect God's glory, His Spirit, to fill their gatherings. Praise the Lord. Every time. God's glory can't fill a place without there being tangible displays of power. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we can expect to flow in the corporate power of God whenever we gather together. So let's say this together. Say, the power of God is present in our midst every time we gather with the glory, come on, and the power of God. Say, God is present in our meetings all of the time. You don't say it like you mean it. Say, God is present in our meetings all of the time. Say, we have the greater glory. Say His glory fills our gatherings. Say His glory fills our meetings. Say we can see supernaturally. We can hear supernaturally. We can speak, come on, supernaturally. We can do supernaturally. In our gatherings, we have signs and wonders, miracles, tangible displays of the power of God. Say, this is our reality. Say, we are God's house, we are His temple, and His glory fills His temple. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Lift your hands, give Him praise. Thank Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Give Him praise.